get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Fam, finally up in this piece. Got my mans that put me on, you know what I'm saying? One shout out to the Uptown, you know what I mean? Word up. MCA, this is how we do every day. Me and Freaky Ty, ha, pretty new, my man. It's Big Nice. We be getting down representing, so this is how it goes. Let me let you know how it be in the G-H-E, double D-O, my name. In this here rap game, for those that claim to be the best, I tear them out the frame. I'm representing, putting Queens on the map. Double strings with some baggy jeans when I rap. Come up with the style, but they call versatile. But treat me like no lame, I've been in this game for a while. I seen a lot to come, I seen a lot to go. I seen a lot to break, I seen a lot to blow. Yo, it's a trip, see a nigga slip. Get a grip, nigga, get a grip, get a grip. You don't even know that. What you talking and you act like you do. Yo, set it. You fucking cross my line and hit the border. LB fam start attacking. Someone's acting out of order. Put on your leather gloves and hat to get your pits and bats. And get the cats just in case you take it to the stack.
Shout out to the G. The Lex cools the Beamers and the Benz. To all of my ladies and my men. And all of my peoples in the pen.
My man,
keep your head up into the hood. East Coast, West Coast, and worldwide. Ain't nothing wrong with pumping no lie.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 256 of the report. And right now, we going way back, man. Back to 96 with the Lost Boys, Lex Coops, Beamers, and Benz. Rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, y'all. It is episode 256. This is Saturday afternoon here at the Span Report Podcast. Man, we are doing something here a little bit different than what we've been doing for the last few months, y'all. We are back on Crowdcast, man. This is a motherfucking celebration. Let me tell y'all, I really do want to thank all of our Patreon patrons for making this happen. You guys really don't know how much this helps. Y'all really don't know how much this helps for us to be able to do the show the way we like doing the show, without the censorship, without having to worry about our shit getting taken down, and you can't even watch the replays on the website and everything, man. We really do appreciate. Shout out to the Patreon patrons for making this happen, man. Real talk. And yo, man, I'm feeling good, man. It's the weekend. It's hot as shit here in Michigan, man. But you know, you got a deal, man. It's the summertime. It's July. It's kind of what it is, right? Let me turn this off. And yeah, man, it's just kind of what it is, man. You got to deal with the sun. I mean, although they talking like record heat, though, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, heat indexes is within like the 110 degrees here in Detroit, man. I was outside working in that shit all day yesterday. And let me tell you, it was hot as hell, man. It was as if, y'all know that level on fucking Mario Brothers where the sun was trying to kill you? Yeah, it kind of was like that. it kind of was like that out there in the streets, man. Like, it was just like, yo, man, you got to pace yourself. It's funny, too, man, because at the job, man, you know, in the wintertime, man, at the job, you know, when it's supposed to be real cold, like, you know, here in the Midwest, we get the two extremes, right? We get the extreme hot and we get the extreme cold. And in the extreme cold, when they forecasting, yo, we're going to have, you know, wind chills in the, like, the negative 30s, the job be like, you know what, man? We feel like it's prudent for us to keep you guys inside, you know, 200% accountability, safety first and all that other shit, right? Nigga, in the summertime, when you're supposed to be out there going out there and getting it, they like, all right, man, just keep yourself hydrated, man. Drink all the water you can. You know what I'm saying? If you got to take a break, nigga, sit down for a minute, but get out there and get them numbers, nigga. Get out there and get them numbers. And so, yeah, man, that's pretty much what it's been. It's hot as shit out here in the world, man. Global warming is real. Global warming is real, man. But, yo. It is what it is. You got to make it happen, man. And so that's what we've been doing. We've been out here making it happen. But again, man, I feel good, man. We are back on Crowdcast, man. Sort of like coming back home, man. We could do the live shows and not have to worry about the shit being censored or whatnot. And you guys, again, like I said, you guys get to watch the replays on the website and not have to worry about the shit saying video unavailable and everything else because Facebook is on some bullshit, right? So shout out to the Patreon patrons, every last one of y'all for making this happen. We really do appreciate each and every last one of you guys who heeded the call and contributed, man. And like I said, it really didn't take a whole lot. You know, like, we got $2 levels, we got $5 levels, and we got $10 levels, man. $2, and we can get, like, shit, 20 people to give $2 up, man. That helps immensely. Not even just with the live streaming, but, like, keeping the website cost manageable for us over here, man. We're thinking about moving the website to a new host. So it's a lot of different things that are happening on the back end, man, and we really do appreciate everybody who supports the Spare Report Podcast in that way, man. Real talk. I can't thank you guys enough for helping us get the Spare Report Podcast back over here at Crowdcast, man. Real talk. But, yo, before we get into the show, of course, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll replay them on the show and respond in kind. And also, if you're watching the show live here on Crowdcast, you can chop it up with your mans here right here on the show live as we do this, right? How you doing, Stephanie? What's up, Dre? Appreciate y'all. Also, you can hit us up on the email at feedback@thesparereport.com. That's feedback@thesparereport.com. Go ahead and leave those emails. And, of course, those emails will get read here live on the show, and we'll respond to you guys here live as well. Hit me up on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your mans throughout the week. You can also follow me on Instagram. My name is the same thing over there, Mr_Span. Chop it up with me throughout the week on Instagram and Twitter at Mr_Span. The five-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of leaving us those five-star reviews. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to say, hey, this is why I fuck with this show over here. You know what I'm saying? And it helps the show grow. People see that and they be like, hey, maybe I should take a listen. And then they become a listener. And then maybe they tell somebody else. And it just kind of snowballs that way. So we really do appreciate everybody who does that. Five-star reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Those five-star reviews will get read here live on the show as a thank you. Also, go to our website. Our website is www.thespanreport.com. You can go there. You can watch replays of the show. I'm guaranteeing it now, right? You can watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments there. You can also donate to the show, not only through our Patreon, but we do have a PayPal account that you can donate to as well. You can go to the website and donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. We really do. We really do. Thank you so much for our Patreon patrons and those of you who have contributed to the Span Report through PayPal, man. Real talk. We really do thank you for your contributions. And for all of your Span Report needs, man, you can go to that website, man. You can get, like, not only do that, but you can go to our store, get yourself some merch, you know, get a t-shirt or a coffee mug. Some of our Patreon patrons just got themselves a free coffee mug, man. You know, you can get shit. We got summer gear, I think, in there. I think we got, like, tote bags and stuff for when you go into the beach. And then we got, like, mouse pads and shit for when you editing your podcast, right? Because some of our listeners are podcasters, too. So, yeah, we got mouse pads and shit. And we got, like, you know, tank tops and whatnot. We got some stuff in there, man. We got onesies for the babies and whatnot. It's a bit of everything in there, man. It's a bit of everything in there. And we really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of, you know, copping some stuff out of that Spare Report Podcast Network store, man, over at TeePublic. But you can go through there. You can get there through the Spare Report Podcast Network store on the website, right? So, yes, Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. It's good to be back on the mic. It's good to be back on Crowdcast. I feel like the shackles have been let off your boy's feet and shit. I feel like Kunta when he ran away, nigga. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. I am feeling good about this. I am feeling good about this. And so before I get to feeling too good, let me tell y'all some shit that happened to me at work this week, right? So, you know, as you guys know, man, I'm a bit in the, like, the construction slash customer service business, man. You know, I'm you know, working on gas pipelines and stuff like that and doing service renewals and everything. And every now and again, man, you come across a situation where you, like, have to swallow your fucking, you, like, you got to just kind of swallow your tongue, man, because you ain't trying to jeopardize your bread. And I had one of those incidents kind of happen to me this week while I was at work, man. I was working, and it's a white family's home, and, like, I'm in this basement, and you know, this is one of those basements where it's kind of like a living space, right, where people just, you know, they got the living room or, like, a little, like, den, and it's got a fireplace down there, big screen TV, video game systems and whatnot, and this is kid, he's probably, like, 11 or 12 years old, he's playing Red Dead Redemption. And I'm in, like, the utility room where the water heater and the furnaces is and the gas meter and all this other stuff is at. And I'm, you know, I'm working and whatnot. And I hear this kid. He didn't know I was there. But I hear this kid on the game. And obviously, he's got, like, the headset on. So he's chatting with somebody on the game. It looked like he was playing Red Dead Redemption. And on this fucking game, he just so happens to talk to one of his partners and was like, yo, how about we just kill all the niggers? They're not supposed to be on this game anyway. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. My sound effects wasn't right. Let me do that again. You probably still didn't hear that. I should have like tested that before. But anyway, yeah, man, this kid says, like, you know, let's kill all the niggers. They're not supposed to be here anyway. And the interesting thing about what happened with that was I heard that, right? And instinctively, I'm like, wait, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, did I hear what the fuck I just thought I heard? And so I step in, I stopped what I was doing. I stepped into the room, just kind of like stepped over there. I'm like, just kind of looking at, you know, as though I was looking for something gas related. And y'all should have seen the look on this boy's face when he seen me step in that room. He looked like he could have seen, like, the ghost of Frederick Douglass or some shit like that when I stepped in that room, man. Because he had his eyes were like, oh, my God. And he knew instantly. He knew instantly that he had fucked up. Like, you know you done fucked up, right? You know you done fucked up. He knew it. And so the thing about it that was funny was that he started apologizing immediately to me. You know, he's like, oh, my God, like, no, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. Like, you know, it's just how my friends talk. You know, it's like how me and my friends talk. We don't really mean it like that. And I just kind of had to tell the kid, if you're apologizing to me, obviously, you know, this is something that you shouldn't probably be doing. You know this, that you shouldn't be doing this. So, you know, it's wrong. If you feel like it, when you get around black people or if you're around niggers, that if a nigga was standing in there, you wouldn't be saying these things. So you should be mindful of that. Now, obviously, like, I could have escalated this shit. I could have, like, yo, went to his mom and dad and be like, yo, I'm very offended. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do this work anymore. Like, you know, your kid is a racist piece of shit. I could have did all of that. I didn't. But what I did do is I got my white apprentice to go inside that house and finish the job that I was doing, right? So that's the thing too, that, like, you just kind of have to, I just separated myself from that particular situation. And, like, here's the thing when it comes to racism, it's stupid as shit. And I hopefully at a certain point, this kid will realize that, like, yo, racism is dumb as hell. Like, again, he might've been 11, 12 years old, and some of this language he may have learned from his parents. He may have just learned it from his friends. I'm not sure. I'm not even gonna cast aspersions on his parents. They seem like nice people, right? But the idea that this was just something that him and his friends say, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, dude, you know what's wrong. You know you done fucked up. You know you done fucked up. And then also to show him that not only is this nigga smart, but this nigga also has one of his own up under him that can kind of, like, yo, hey, man, go ahead and handle that because I don't feel like dealing with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, maybe I was power tripping. I don't know. I just know I didn't want to, like, be involved in that. But that was, like, a really weird kind of thing that happened to me earlier this week where, like, yo, this little racist piece of shit, little racist fuck playing the game. And it could have been a lot. It could have been a lot more. It could have been a lot worse. But I'm just like, yo, I just felt like I needed to separate myself from that situation. Because truth be told, like, I know I walk into a lot of houses where the people whom I'm doing work for, I know they are Trump supporters. There's the telltale signs outside of the Trump, like, shit around the house. But you'll see, like, an NRA sticker or a gun, like a gun safe in the basement or some shit like that, or they're pressing ammunition and shit in the basement. You see a lot of this stuff in white people's houses, man. Like, they make their own ammo and everything, man. Real talk. So, like, sometimes you can just kind of tell, like, okay, I know exactly who I'm dealing with, right? Let me go ahead, do my work, and get the fuck on up out of here. But to have that happen between a young white kid and me, and I'm just like, you know what, man? Rather than have this big-ass drawn-out thing, let me go ahead, tell this kid, like, yo, man, you know you was wrong. You wouldn't be apologizing had you, if a black guy hadn't just showed up right after you said that, you wouldn't be apologizing. But you know you was wrong because you're apologizing. So it's the whole thing. But yeah, that happened to me earlier this week, man. But yo, other than that, it's just been hot as fuck. It's been hot as hell, man. And I get to complain about the weather. I don't give a fuck what y'all talking about. Like, see, here's another thing too, man. People be like, man, because it's hot right now. Like, man, shit, y'all talking about how hot it is right now. But as soon as the motherfucking wintertime comes, y'all talking about, I can't wait till the summertime get here. Like, hey, man, I work outside. I'm in all of that shit. Whether it's 4 feet of fucking snow, which we ain't had in thousands of years. But, like, whether it's, like, if we get 10 inches of snow, man, I'm out in that shit. If it's 110 degrees heat index, I'm out in that shit. I'm the motherfucker that gets to complain. If you get to sit inside all day while you working, I don't want to hear your shit. But I'm out there, nigga. I'm dealing with it. So I get to complain. Y'all can't talk shit to me. So, yeah, man. But, yo, it is time for us to get into the show. And, of course, we gotta hop into the news. All right, our first story up here in the news, man, is, as you guys know, the P-Hive is still turning. And there's more R. Kelly news in the news, man. And this first story here comes out of Pitchfork.com because Pitchfork is reporting that the young lady who was in that first sex tape that led to R. Kelly being charged with child pornography, the one whom her parents and her denied that it was even her in the tape and wouldn't testify, she's right now actually cooperating with prosecutors concerning R. Kelly's sex trafficking and child pornography possession cases with the feds right now. All right, we're going to read the story here out of Pitchfork.com. It says, in February 2002, a VHS tape that allegedly showed R. Kelly having sex with an underage girl was anonymously mailed to reporter Jim DeRogatis. DeRogatis then, with the Chicago Sun-Times, turned the tape over to the police, and later that year, Kelly was charged with making child pornography. The girl and her family refused to testify, and in June 2008, R. Kelly was acquitted on all charges. A lawyer for that woman, now in her 30s, told the New York Times today that she is cooperating with federal investigators. While the nature of her cooperation with prosecutors is currently unclear, the news comes after a federal indictment claimed that R. Kelly was accused of paying the woman and her father to stay quiet. The woman's refusal to testify was widely credited as a reason for R. Kelly's acquittal in 2008. R. Kelly was arrested in Chicago on Thursday, July 11th, on federal sex trafficking charges. Today, he was denied release on bond and entered a plea of not guilty. Read the struggle of to silence R. Kelly on the pitch. Okay, so this is one wrinkle that we didn't have before. And like they said before in this particular article, is that the woman who was involved in that case, she did not want to testify. Her parents did not want to testify. Many people speculated that R. Kelly had paid them off. I know I've spoken about this before. They, like, R. Kelly had given her father album credits on, I believe it was was it the R album or the Chocolate Factory album? It was one of those, maybe even TP2.com. It might have been one of those where he gave his her father album credits on those albums as sort of like payment for their cooperation with not reporting him concerning the alleged abuse of their daughter, right? And so now this young lady is 30 years old. She's in her 30s. And the thing about this is that, she probably gotten all of the jokes, man. Like, I mean, you got R. Kelly, Dave Chappelle making jokes about her. You've got the Boondocks episode where, you know, they were kind of making jokes about her too, talking about how old she was, how if she wanted to move out of the way of the pee, she could have, and all of these other things, man. And we laughed at her. I know I did. I mean, at the time I was like, yo, that's kind of funny considering, but then you think about some of those Boondocks episodes, like in hindsight, you'd be like, man, they was making fun of all our asses, real talk. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man. Like, so this is one aspect of this case. They're like, yo, the person with whom everybody associates this dude with when it comes to child pornography is now cooperating with prosecutors when it concerns R. Kelly and whether or not he is he's responsible for child pornography. And maybe she reveals some level of she starts detailing some of the things that may have happened to her. And she's yet another person with whom R. Kelly has been associated with, whom, you know, could lead to this guy being locked up and probably locked up for good. And again, like this time they didn't even offer this dude bail. So another aspect of this, right? Because one of the things I've always found interesting, man, and even with his like supporters and everything, is the fact that like now his supporters are like, well, he dealing with people that's of age now. You know what I'm saying? Like all of his girl, like even his girlfriends now, they grown. They could do what they want. Can't nobody tell them what to do. They got their own mind. They got their own body. Their parents are just in this for the money. They just in this for the fame, this, that, and the other, right? But ironically, like his girlfriends, quote unquote girlfriends, because he got with them when they were young as well. Jocelyn Savage or Joycelyn Savage, however you pronounce her name, and Asriel Clary, there have been rumors that they have been kicked out of their apartment that they share with R. Kelly at the Trump Tower, Chicago, right? They actually released a video of them addressing some of these rumors. As a matter of fact, let me pull this up so we can watch this here. Let me share this with you guys. Hold on just a second as I get reacquainted with these motherfucking, reacquainted with these crowdcast. Here we go. It's been a while, y'all. Forget your boy. Here we go. So let's do this application. Yeah, here we go. So let's watch this video here, y'all.
Hi, my name is Asriel Clary.
Hi, my name is Joseph Savage.
Sorry. Philippe is playing with his squeaky, so if you hear that, that's what's in the background. But we actually just read an article saying that we were evicted from the Trump, and saying that, you know, we were under emergency living and all kinds of stuff like that. We just wanted to let you guys know that that is not true. We are here. We are at the Trump. I'm going to show you guys actually our view so you guys can know it's real. It's Grammys back there, you know, so
She low-key bragging, though, like, which is kind of weird. She's low-key bragging, but okay.
Here at the Trump. And, you know, Joyce's parents are all over social media.
Yeah, they know where I'm at.
Yeah, we've been here at the Trump, you know, we've been here for years. We move freely, we come and go freely. We actually just slept out this morning, and nobody said anything to us. You know, no one stopped us, no one, you know, harassed us or anything like that. So, we just wanted to clear that up and let you guys know that that is fake news, and do not believe everything that you hear. Other than that, we want to say thank you to all of Robert's fans. We see the support that you guys are showing him all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, everything. We see you guys going in, and we are just so thankful for the prayers, for the love, for the support, everything that you guys are saying and doing and trying to do to help him. We are just so thankful for it, and we love you guys for it. Thank you so much.
All right, so that came out of TMZ, and it was a couple things here that I find very, like, kind of interesting, right? Is, like, they don't necessarily understand that, let me All right. So they don't necessarily understand that their actual existence, their insistence on being girlfriends of R. Kelly is kind of like a confirmation that this dude has a problem, right? Like, R. Kelly is old enough to be both of their daddy, right? R. Kelly is like 52. I think Azriel may be like 21, 22 years old. I'm not sure exactly how old Joycelyn Savage is, but it's like their pure existence is like confirmation of like, yo, something might be wrong with this dude. And they've had a relationship with this dude for a number of years, you know, considering when they first became aware of when people became aware of their association with R. Kelly. They've been around this guy for some time. And she said, we've been staying here at the Trump for years, right? So he got with them when they were minor. His problem has been that his association with dealing with minor young women or minor girls, you know what I'm saying? And so they get on social media and they think as though they're talking as though like, yo, we get to move freely. We live in the Trump. Like it's as if they're bragging, right? Like, yo, I live in the Trump Tower, Chicago. Like, there was a time where maybe like bragging about living in the Trump Tower, Chicago might have got you some points, but I don't think many people are just like out here like, yeah, man, I live in the Trump. They're like, nah, I don't really want to tell nobody I live in the Trump right now, especially considering everything Trump got going on right now. But it's just weird, man. It's like the fact that they look at this, they see all of these things that he's accused of, and they're thanking his fans, not even considering what he's accused of. Like, yo, it's a crime for him to be. It was a crime for R. Kelly to be fucking with y'all. Now you guys are of age and it's cool. But not only is he dealing with you, he's dealing with other underage girls. And the fact that there are other women who have been abused by R. Kelly, rather than deal with that, it's as though like, well, fuck all of that because we get to live in the Trump. And they showed up to his court, you know, court hearing, you know, really expensive bags and clothes and stuff like that. It's as though, like, look, so long as we get these trinkets, so long as we are able to say that we live in R. Kelly, like, that's what they like. That's what they're there for. You know what I'm saying? And it's weird to just kind of witness, people, like, wrapped up in that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't even know these girls, but like, man, I want so much more for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I want so much more for y'all. Because truth be told, when R. Kelly's first accusations of him dealing with young girls came about, these little girls probably weren't even born yet. You think about that. When R. Kelly was married to Aaliyah back in like 95, neither one of these girls were a thing. They weren't even born yet. That's how I know I'm old too, though. You know? But yo, man, like it's crazy. And I don't know if they necessarily understand. I don't know if Azriel Clary and Joycelyn Savage understand that their mere existence as R. Kelly's quote-unquote girlfriends kind of solidifies and indemnifies the fact that R. Kelly has a problem. And his problem is his proclivity of dealing with young girls. And so it's going to be really interesting kind of watching them, man. What's up, Jack? How you doing, man? But, yo, that's in the news. Another story that is in the news, man, that we kind of want to talk about here on the Span Report is the fact that, yo, so apparently the U.S. government is running out of money, and they're running out of money so fast that basically they really didn't anticipate how much money we was going to be running out of so quickly. All right, hold on a second. Let me pull this up. This is coming out of CNN.com, and it says the U.S. government is running out of money faster than expected. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said on Friday. So it says Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin on Friday issued a warning Friday that the U.S. government is at risk of running out of cash sooner than expected. In a letter to Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Mnuchin wrote that the U.S. might default on its obligations as soon as early September before Congress returns from its summer recess. Based on updated projections, there's a scenario in which we run out of cash in early September before Congress reconvenes, Mnuchin wrote in a letter. The federal government has not been able to borrow money since March, when congressionally mandated borrowing limits went back into force. The U.S. Treasury, which is facing a growing deficit thanks in part to the President Trump's 2017 tax cuts, has said it had enough cash to last until the fall. Pelosi and Mnuchin have spoken three times this week in an effort to jumpstart stalled budget and debt ceiling negotiations, and multiple sources say the new default projections have provided an accelerant for those efforts. Mnuchin and Pelosi are likely to speak again Friday. Pelosi told reporters that she has not yet read Mnuchin's letter to Capitol Hill, but she knew it was coming. In his letter, Mnuchin called on Congress to restore borrowing power to increasing the debt ceiling before Congress departs for its regular August recess. Now, the interesting thing about this is that, yo, check it. Republicans, when they run for office, right? More often than not, they'll run for office and they'll say, "Yo, we're trying to get the budget back in line, man. We're fiscal conservatives. We want to be able to pay for these programs, and you know, we want to be able to balance the budget where everything that we are obligated to, we pay, it's paid for, this, that, and the third." And then they actually get into office, right? Because when it comes to like what we spend money on, what they really hate is the fact that we spend money on social programs, whether that be Social Security, whether that be SNAP, whether that be WIC, whether that be Planned Parenthood. Like these social safety net programs is really what Republicans tend to abhor more than anything else. But when it comes to cutting taxes for the rich, when it comes to spending money on weapons and defense, yo, they got carte blanche. They give the Pentagon and the Department of Defense more money than the Department of Defense even be wanting a lot of times. They be like, yo, we don't really need all this shit. We got jet planes and we don't even fucking fly. You know, we don't even put people in these. We got drones, man. We send these fucking drones out and let the drones do the shit. That way we don't have any human casualties should something happen, right? But they always they find the ways to spend money like that. We also cut back on our education spending as well. It's really weird how this sort of, you know, how Republicans prioritize their spending, right? But the interesting thing about this is the fact that, yo, they saying they're running out of money faster than they anticipated. And the fact that they're running out of money isn't necessarily funny, but it's like, yo, maybe y'all shouldn't have given these rich motherfuckers these tax cuts in the ways in which y'all did. Y'all ran that shit down everybody's throats. Not necessarily about down everybody's throats. Y'all rammed it through party lines, right? Most of the Republicans were like, yo, we got to get these rich people these tax cuts. And then they convinced all these regular folks that they was going to see so much more money on their income tax refunds. Then when tax time really came around, they were like, wait a minute, hold up, man. I owe these motherfuckers some money. Because you thought those extra $20 and $30 that you got on your paycheck was like, yo, Donald Trump coming through for you. Nah, motherfucker, you was going to pay for that. And a lot of stuff that you was able to deduct off your taxes, you can't do that shit no more. So the fact that that Steven Mnuchin, Donald Trump's Treasury Secretary, is coming to the House of Representatives like, yo, man, we need to borrow some more money because we're going to run out of this shit come like September. Before y'all get back, we need to figure something out. We're going to run out of money. We ain't going to be able to pay for all this other shit that we didn't say we was going to be able to do. Like, it's crazy. It's fucking insane. It's fucking insane. The government gonna run out of money, supposedly. Now, of course, you know, the cynic American in me is just like, yo, they always figure this shit out. All they gonna do is raise the debt ceiling again, and you know, it's back to business as usual. It's back to the politics as usual and everything else. But understand that these tax cuts that they put on the rich, and then you got these you also have these corporations like Amazon, like Microsoft, like Apple. Like Google, who don't pay nearly the amount of taxes that they should, are able to kind of like get away with not paying those taxes. And meanwhile, people like you and me who work and earn a decent living are squeezed to a point where like, yo, man, like this is, you know, why is everything on our shoulders when you got all of these multi-billion dollar corporations not putting in where they should be? It's sort of a thing, man. And so, that's crazy that the U.S. government is talking about the fact that they can't pay their bills come, what is that, September? Come September, they're going to be like, yo, man, I ain't got it. Can you imagine, nigga, the U.S. government, like, I ain't got it. The richest and most powerful nation on earth ain't got it, right? Dig that. But that's in the news, man. Another thing that's in the news, man, I kind of wanted to speak to was Kamala Harris. Presidential candidate. She's running out of California. She's a Democratic senator out of California. She wants to now make it so that you when it comes to your credit score, when your credit score is being calculated, she wants it to where your rent payments, your utility payments, and your cell phone payments are calculated into your credit score. All right, we're going to read this story here. This comes out of MarketWatch.com. It says that Senator Kamala Harris wants to add more data to how credit bureaus calculate credit scores as part of a broader plan to address black home ownership gap in the U.S. The Democratic presidential candidate from California unveiled her plan last week during an appearance at the Essence Festival in New Orleans, an annual music and cultural festival sponsored by Essence Magazine. Harris called for amending the Fair Credit Reporting Act to require credit reporting agencies to include payments of rent, cell phone bills, and utilities when calculating credit scores. There are an estimated 26 million people who are credit invisible and another 19 million who are said to have unscorable files, according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. These people don't have enough bank or credit union accounts to have a credit score by today's standards. While the traditional credit FICO score, named after the Fair Isaac Corporation, mainly considers payments on debt such as credit cards, mortgages, and auto loans, the credit scores have always been designed to consider telecommunications and utility payments. Mainly considers payments on debts such as credit cards, mortgages, and auto loans. The credit scores have always been designed to consider telecommunications and utility payments since they were first released in 1989, said Joanne Gaskin, Vice President of Scores and Analytics at FICO. The latest version of the FICO score, FICO Score 9, is also designed to incorporate rent data. Now, here's another thing, too. I think here's the thing, right? So when it comes to credit scores, like the interesting thing about how they do the credit score thing, like when it comes to your cell phone, when it comes to your when it comes to rent, when it comes to your utility payments, the only time they really report anything to the credit bureaus is when you behind. That's the thing, is that they're not required to give your payment information as far as when you're on time. And I think this is where Kamala Harris has it right, where, yo, if I'm paying my utility bill on time every month, like, I should get credit for that. If I'm paying my cell phone bill on time every month, yeah, I should get credit for that. If I'm paying my rent on time every month, I should get credit for that. And when I go back to, like, before, like, I really, really was paying attention to my credit, right? I go back to this story, like, we was looking for an apartment. And while I was looking for this apartment, man, I was just under the assumption that just because of the level of my income, that, like, it was a mere formality. Like, yo, when they see how much money I make, then, like, yeah, of course we're going to get, approved for the apartment. And that didn't happen. That didn't happen. As a matter of fact, they was like, yo, you had an eviction on your credit report. Never mind that I had never been evicted, but you had an eviction on your credit report. And so because of that, you will not be able to, we will not be able to extend this lease to you for this apartment, you know, this, that, and the other, right? And so that kind of, that was the impetus to make me want to really pay attention to what the fuck was going on with my credit. Because the only thing that I really had on my credit report was, your man Span had a car note. And I paid my car note on time. I really was trying to make sure that I didn't get it repoed and everything else. I needed that car to get back and forth to work and everything else. But that was the only thing that I had. I didn't have any credit cards. One of the things about, you know, the credit card game was, I got credit cards early, like in college. And it was really like when I got my credit cards in college, it was like, yo, you want these free trimmers? You know, like, so I can cut my, you know, shave and shit like that. Like, yo, all you gotta do is fill this out and, you know, we'll give you these free trimmers. And then I looked up, I had a Discover card in my P.O. box at school. Same thing with like t-shirts and shit. Like, we giving these free t-shirts out, but if you go ahead, fill this form out, we give you this free t-shirt. I looked up, I had a Capital One card in my mailbox. Now, I still wasn't really necessarily educated as to how this would affect me later on, right? And so, like, yo, I ran that damn Discover card through the ground, boy. Like, luckily I had a Discover card when I had it, right? Because at the time I was going to school out of state and, like, I needed to buy books and stuff. So I charged that shit to the Discover card. Didn't have a job at the time, but I charged that shit to the Discover card. I had a $200 limit on that Capital One card at the time, man. And I was like, yo, just buying takeout and shit like that. Didn't have a means to pay that shit back. And it fucked me up for a long time, man. It fucked me up. And this is before I understood, you know, how credit worked and, you know, how long those sorts of debts stay on your record and everything, man. And so for a long time, and I stayed away from like credit. Like if I can't pay for it, then I don't want to fuck with it and everything else. And then that happened, that we were denied the apartment because of my some of my indiscretions when it came to my financial irresponsibility as a youngster, right? And so what I really started doing was like paying attention to the game of how they do the credit, man. Who reports to the credit bureaus? How to apply for a credit card with bad credit, and how to, you know, kind of make this game work in my favor, right? And I've been able to improve my credit score immensely after learning how the game works. Like it's imperative for people to kind of learn the credit game, because so much in life is determined by whether or not you have a good credit score, especially here in America. So much of it is determined by whether or not you have a good credit score, whether you get approved for that car, whether you get approved for that house, whether you even get the job that you want is based upon a lot of times your ability to have a decent credit score, a good credit score. And so for those of us who have been paying rent on time, for those of us who have been paying our utility bills on time, for those of us who have been paying our cell phone bills on time, yeah, you should get credit for the fact that you've been paying these bills on time, and you know, it for whatever reason is not calculated into your credit score right now. I know now FICO says that on FICO 9 score that they attribute that, but the thing is, a lot of places when they actually look for your credit information, they're not using the FICO 9 score; they're using that FICO 8 score. Right? FICO 9 is still kind of in the infancy of, you know, credit reporting. Like a lot of people who are, when they pull up your credit worthiness, they're not using that FICO 9 score yet. So that's the thing. The flip side of that, though, is that you have a lot of people who don't necessarily want that information to be calculated into their credit worthiness, because like, yo, they're dealing with some financial issues. They don't necessarily have the money to pay the rent on time every month. They don't necessarily they're probably on a payment arrangement with T-Mobile to keep the bill to have the service, but to keep them, you know, they haven't paid the entire balance off. Excuse me. They haven't paid the entire balance off, but they still have service. So they're trying to work around, you know, they got to rob Peter to pay Paul, you know, that sort of thing. So it's that catch 22 when it comes to credit, right? Like that rock and that hard place where like, it could be good for some people, but it could also hurt some people as well. It's like when, say for instance, when you're new to credit and you know, all these credit places, like, yeah, you got to have, you know, like a credit card. You'd be like, yo, I want this credit card so that I can build some credit history. And they're like, yo, you don't have any credit history, therefore we can't extend this card to you. We're going to have to deny you this card. You're like, well, how the fuck do I get started? You know what I'm saying? Y'all won't let me get in, and I'm trying to get in, but like, y'all, you know, how does this work? So it's just interesting, man. I want to see how it pans out, though. If she's able to kind of get this to where it fairly and equitably allows for more Black people to become homeowners in America, then I'm by all means, I'm for it. But I just kind of wonder sometimes too, like, even though this is a good idea, how many people it could inadvertently hurt, because they aren't necessarily able to pay a lot of these bills on time. And most of the credit thing, when it comes to good credit, is your ability to pay on time every month. So that has been the news, that is in the news, and that has been our news. All right, but y'all know what time it is.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, now in blue blazes, our first story here is kind of an interesting one. This is something that had went viral earlier in the week, is the fact that, yo, FaceApp, man, FaceApp went viral. And a lot of people, man, a lot of folks are out here talking about FaceApp is It's a Russian scheme, man, to get access to your face so they can sell that bitch all over the place. So we're going to read, actually. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to read the terms of service for the FaceApp app, right? So Because this is something that a lot of times, myself included, we never read these terms of service. We get an app, we download the app. Sometimes the app asks for certain permissions. And, you know, you'd be like, wait, why does this app need access to my microphone? I don't even want, like, and you deny that, but you deny access to your camera roll and stuff like that, right? And so one of the things I kind of wanted to highlight was this. It says, user content. Our services may allow you and others users to create, post, store, and share content, including messages, text, photos, videos, software, and other materials. User content does not include user-generated filters. Except for the license you grant below, you retain all rights in and to your user content as between you and FaceApp. Further, FaceApp does not claim ownership of any user content that you post on or through your or through the services. You grant FaceApp a perpetual, irrevocable, non-exclusive, royalty-free, worldwide, fully paid, transferable, sub-licensable, license to use, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, create derivative works from, distribute, publicly perform and display your user content and any name, username, or likeness provided in your connection with your user content in all media formats and channels now known or later developed without compensation to you. Right? Now, I know a lot of y'all are like, man, what the fuck? These motherfuckers can make money off of my face? These motherfuckers can make money off of my name? This is some bullshit. And I'm here to tell y'all, man, this is how the game works. This is how the game works, man. So check this out. When I first started seeing, like, people, like, kind of going in, like, yo, man, FaceApp shouldn't be able to do this, man. Y'all need to take FaceApp off of your phone, man. They making money off of y'all. The Russians done hacked us. They could take our face and manipulate it and do this, that, and the third to it. And one thing I'm just thinking about was like, yo, man, it's kind of weird with like people. It's kind of weird for people who have phones that don't even unlock unless it scans your fucking face to have these concerns now. Right. And I don't know if it's like the Russian propaganda thing, like everybody's like mad at Russia now. Truth be told, rightfully so. Right. Everybody's like, yo, man, these Russians, they kind of own some bullshit. These Russians did kind of fuck with our national elections in 2016. These Russians may be partially responsible for the fact that Donald Trump is president of the United States at this moment. Like, I get that sort of angst. Right. And one of the things I always like, I kind of go back to, like, because I'm someone who is like, I kind of like being on the bleeding edge of technology. If it's some new hot shit, and I'm like, oh, that's cold. I could do this with what? Like, I'm on it. Like, I came up watching Star Trek, man. Like, Star Trek was my shit. Like, the Next Generation Star Trek was my shit. It's why I got Google Homes all over my crib. You know what I'm saying? Like remember on Star Trek, like, yo, computer, you know, send the photon the photon torpedoes to sector 5 and such, and they're like, and the computer would just talk back to him, and I'm like, hey Google, what's the weather like today?
In Allen Park today, there will be isolated thunderstorms with a forecasted high of 95 and a low of 73.
Like, see, that shit, I was like, okay Google, stop. Thank you. So yeah, that's the thing though, right? It's like, yo, I was like, yo, coming up, I like that sort of shit. The flip side of that, though, is that you do give up some form of privacy when you allow for these certain companies to have these sort of products and for you to use them. And one of the things we're kind of moving towards is that, like, we're moving to that place where we want a lot of things automated, a lot of things we don't necessarily want to do ourselves. Like, I remember when the Xbox One came out, one of the selling features of that Xbox One was your ability to tell the Xbox to change the channel, your ability to tell the Xbox to turn the TV down or to turn the TV off. Like, that was a thing, you know what I'm saying? And so we're moving more towards like that voice command sort of interface where you don't even have to touch anything. You don't have to pick anything up, this, that, and the other. And a lot of the things about when it comes to social media, whether that be Facebook, Twitter, FaceApp, or Instagram, all of these services are free, right? The trade-off that you are making with these free apps is that you now are the product. You are the product. None of this shit is really free. You wonder how they're making money when all of this shit is free, right? This is why you got so many damn ads on your Facebook shit, right? This is how when you search up certain things on Google or on Facebook, suddenly you start seeing ads targeting those items your way. Like you start mentioning like, yo, man, I kind of want some Nike Air Max, you know, or some Vapor Max or some shit like that. And then suddenly you start seeing ads for Vapor Max. And you're like, man, that's creepy that they're able to send this to me. I'm like, nah, it's kind of like that. This is how they make their money, because these companies want to put their ads in front of your face. So in order for them to put these ads in front of your face, here's this free service where you're most likely going to be. These ad companies or these advertising companies or these companies that want to put their product in front of you are like, yo, how can we get our product in front of the most eyeballs? And Facebook and Google and Twitter can guarantee that these are where your listeners or where your target audience is going to be at. And so they offer you this free service to communicate with everybody else, to broadcast to everybody else, to connect with everybody else. The trade-off is you are now the product. They're selling you to these advertising companies. That's the trade-off. And so when it came to FaceApp, you know, going viral and everything else, it was like, yo, man, like I get to a degree the concern, but as I've said on this show, and as I said, I think I might have talked about this on the Baywatch with my wife, where I was like, yo, man, we don't be reading these terms of services when we sign up for these apps and these social media companies. Like, we just don't. We want to get on. We hit download, install. Okay, okay, okay. We own. We don't read none of that shit. And truth be told, Facebook probably has something similar in theirs. This is part of the reason why you see ever so often people like, yo, I do not consent to Facebook sending me, selling my shit. Like you see those status updates every 2-3 years, right? Like, I don't consent to Facebook doing X, Y, and Z. Like, motherfucker, you done already gave them consent to do that when you signed up for the service, you know? So the thing with FaceApp, like, yeah, man, everybody in the world, or just about everybody in the world seems like, was like involved in like the face age challenge or whatever, man. You want to see how you look as an old person or whatever. I don't think I'm gonna look like that when I get old, truth be told. I mean, that's just me. You know, I don't think I'm gonna look like that, but it was fun to kind of like look and see like, oh, what they come up with. You know, I remember at a certain point, I think the same app was like, people was using that same app to see what they would look like as the opposite sex, I believe it was. And it went viral then. You know, it's just kind of interesting how, you know, people pick and choose when it comes to where they draw that line. And I'm not saying your line is insufficient or whatever else, but I'm telling you, man, when it comes to these social media apps, you are the product. It's the reason why these apps are able to exist for free, because they're selling you to somebody else, man. So that's in Blue Blazes. Another story that's in Blue Blazes, man, is ASAP Rocky. ASAP Rocky has found himself in a sort of a pickle. He's been locked up in Sweden. Apparently, he got into a fight with some folks over there while he was, I don't know if he was doing a show or whatnot, but he's found himself in jail. And folks are talking about him, you know, being in some inhumane conditions over there. The fact that he may be subsisting on just like purely like apples and maybe some water or whatever else. But like ASAP Rocky, being in this position made a lot of people like kind of clown him a little bit. And the reason why they were kind of clowning him a little bit is the fact that back in 2016, this is during the height of the Ferguson, the Ferguson protest after what happened to Mike Brown after he was shot. ASAP Rocky was kind of like on the he was on this whole shit of him not being able to relate to what was going on there. So as a matter of fact, we're going to read a little bit of what ASAP Rocky was saying around that time when the Ferguson protests were going on. It said, an argument did arise though at Oxford University when you said you didn't want to get political in your music. And he said, wait, I'm sorry. He said, do you ever feel like you're forced to address the issue, to address these issues? He says, they're not forcing me to do shit. I'm just going to stay black and die. Why? Because I'm black. So every time something happens, because I'm black, I gotta stand up. What the fuck? Am I Al Sharpton now? I'm ASAP Rocky. I did not sign up to be no political activist. I want to talk about my motherfucking lean, my best friend dying, the girls that come in and out of my life, the jiggy fashion that I wear, my new inspiration in drugs. I don't want to talk about no fucking Ferguson and shit because I don't even live there. I live in fucking Soho and Beverly Hills. I can't relate. I'm in the studio. I'm in these fashion studios. I'm in these bitches' draws. I'm not doing anything outside of that. That's my life, right? So that was his attitude when it came to what people were talking about at the time in 2016 was, yo, man, do you feel any sort of way about this? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are you feeling about all this protesting? You know, you're a black male in America. These things are happening primarily to black men in America. And he's like, yo, man, I'm kind of... I can't relate, man. You know, I live in Soho and Beverly Hills, man. I'm trying to be in these bitches' draws. I'm trying to talk about these drugs and all this other shit, man. I don't know why I got to be all Sharpton now. You know, like the whole mockery sort of thing is what people were upset about, right? And so he finds himself in this position where he's locked up, probably unjustly. And suddenly, Al Sharpton doesn't seem like that much of a bad idea now, does it? So apparently Al Sharpton or his folks may have reached out to Al Sharpton in this particular matter. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to the NewYorkDailyNews.com. It says that ASAP Rocky has received an outpouring of support following reports of his treatment in a Swedish jail following a physical altercation. The hashtag Justice for Rocky hashtag has surfaced on social media in recent days with fans and celebrities rallying together to demand the chart-topping hip-hop artist be released. Civil rights activist and media personality Reverend Al Sharpton is joining the fray in support of the Harlem-born lyricist. Shout out to Al Sharpton, dog. Shout out to Al Sharpton. Because, you know, I don't know if I could have did it, man. I don't know if I could have did it. It couldn't have been me, man. I know this is part of the reason why I don't know if I could really be an activist. Because, yo, man, you ain't going to be talking shit about me. And I'm like, all right, it's just water under the bridge, bro. Nah, man, we're going to have some conversation. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be some conversation before I be like, yo, I'm lending my help. Nah, fuck that, man. Like, talk. What happened to all that shit? Keep that same, you know, that keep the same energy shit. Keep that same energy, nigga. You know what I'm saying? No, but shout out to Al Sharpton. He said, on Wednesday, Sharpton met with Renee Black, ASAP Rocky's mother, and other relatives of the men arrested in Stockholm on June 30th at his National Action Network corporate offices in New York. The group appealed to the longtime civil rights activist to help with his release. So, ASAP Rocky's people reached out to Al Sharpton for this particular situation. It said, after watching the video footage of the brutal brawl, which became public via TMZ, Sharpton is calling for members of Congress to join him in appealing to the State Department to intervene, and he is seeking permission to visit ASAP as a minister. Reports of the conditions in ASAP's jail cell and violation of his consular visitation rights are concerning, Sharpton said in a statement. We at National Action Network are appealing directly to the Swedish authorities for complete transparency in ASAP Swift's return home. Sharpton believes the video footage of the incident indicates how the rapper born Rakim Myers acted in self-defense after being provoked. In the video clip, a man resembling the Harlem-born rapper is seen punching another man in the street. Later, ASAP Rocky took to Instagram to share his side of the story. In one video he posted, he's heard telling the men, listen, we don't want to fight y'all. We're not trying to go to jail. Just look for the cameras. We don't want no problems with these boys. They keep following us, Rocky says later in the clip. Eventually, he tells the man, go that way, bro, before you get hurt. We don't want to hurt y'all for real, bro. So, yeah, he didn't necessarily, he wasn't trying to get into a fight. Apparently, he was trying to, you know, mitigate the situation. He was trying to, like, you know, have cooler heads prevail. It didn't necessarily work because he ended up fighting somebody. I'm going to even go on this limb. He doesn't deserve to be there. Right? Doesn't deserve to be in jail if what happened as it's been described is what happened, right? Doesn't deserve to be there. However, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily have sympathy for his particular situation because a lot of people feel that Mike Brown didn't deserve to die either. And his flippant attitude about what happened to Mike Brown turned a lot of people off, right? It was something similar to happened to Stephen Clark. I remember when Stephen Clark had was killed in Sacramento. And when Stephen Clark was killed in Sacramento, what was later found out was that Stephen Clark had a whole lot of anti-black views. He wasn't necessarily a fan of Black Lives Matter either. He didn't want to have children with a black woman. I believe the mother of his children was of Asian descent. And he said this on multiple social media posting and whatever. And I remember at the time people were talking about like, yo, man, like, I don't know if I really want to like kind of get out here in these streets for this Stephen Clark dude, considering how he felt about us. Excuse me. You know, they're like, yo, man, like, he was talking shit about us. Like, why would we go out here and like be, you know, like advocates for this dude when he didn't give a fuck about us? You know, like, and that was how people felt, you know? And so in this particular instance is like with ASAP Rocky having said the things that he said and now being in this predicament, although I don't believe he deserves to be there considering the circumstances of the case, but it's like, yo, I can also understand why people would just be like, man, fuck that nigga, man. He was just talking shit about us a few years ago. It wasn't like 30 years ago, like some niggas are trying to make it out to be, but like just wasn't he just on some shit? Like, he ain't got to talk about none of this. He can't relate to none of this shit. Finally, he can relate and he needs Al Sharpton now. You know, so yeah, man. Interesting how the world turns, man. Be careful with what you say, man, because you never know who you're going to need and when you're going to need them. Don't burn those bridges, man. Real talk. That's in Blue Blazes. Another thing that's in Blue Blazes, man, this is something I thought was very motherfucking interesting, man. I kind of mentioned this. I talked about this a little bit on my Facebook yesterday, was the fact that, like, Eddie Murphy is actually getting offered $70 million from Netflix to do a stand-up comeback special on their streaming platform.
Ho, brother, ho, whoa. Now, you got too much dip on your chip.
Mm-hmm. $70 million, man, for Eddie Murphy to do a stand-up special on Netflix. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of NewYorkPost.com. It says, Eddie Murphy is gearing up to get raw again. The reclusive comedy legend, 58, hasn't been on the stand-up stage in years, but he's reportedly in talks with Netflix for a series of comedy specials, closest source to Murphy tell TMZ. The streaming giant's big lure, a whopping $70 million paycheck. TMZ admits that they've been unable to firmly confirm the exact figure at this point, but that the dollar amount is certainly in line with what headliners of the Beverly Hills Cop Legends caliber can demand from the streaming giant. Dave Chappelle raked in $20 million for each of his three award-winning specials, Chris Rock banked $40 million for his two show package, and Amy Schumer reportedly asked for and received more than $11 million for her last Netflix showcase. Let us not forget that the former Saturday Night Live star and Oscar nominee for Dreamgirls actually helped pioneer this game. His popular, albeit ultra-raunchy and possibly homophobic live specials, Eddie Murphy Delirious and Eddie Murphy Raw, paved the way for this format back when Chappelle and Rock were doing bit parts in B-movies. The prolific baby maker has been teasing a return to the live stage for some time and even stoked the flames of fandom during his recent surprise appearance on Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. You know that you not doing stand-up drives people crazy. You know that, right? Seinfeld, 65, to ask another Professor Star. Murphy admitted that the last time he saw Don Rickles shortly before his death in 2017, the legendary insult comic pushed him to step up to the mic again. I'm going to do it again. It's just, you know, everything has to be right, Murphy told Seinfeld. The only way I can get, like, an act is I gotta go to the clubs and the workout. Netflix representatives tell the Post that they don't comment on the financial details of his contract negotiations. Now, the reason why I find this interesting, right, is we going to bring this all the way back to the whole Monique discussion from last year, right? Now, last year, folks were giving Monique the business because of the way in which she spoke about her being lowballed by Netflix when it came to what they offered her for a stand-up comedy special, right? And I know for a lot of people, their beef was more so with the way that she kind of went about it, right? They was like, so she want me to kind of, like, they offer her, like, I don't know if it was $200,000 or if it was $500,000, but like, yo, she want me to boycott them because they only giving her $500,000 or $200,000. Nigga, somebody can give me $200,000, like, on some shit like that. Like, it was a lot of money to a lot of people, so they felt like, yo, she should have been grateful for the fact that they offer her that much, right? You had that angle. Then you had the other angle of folks who were talking about Monique hasn't been relevant as far as stand-up comedy is concerned. They haven't seen Monique do a whole lot of stand-up comedy. They haven't, Monique hasn't had any specials on HBO or Showtime or anything like that. So, like, who is Monique to be asking for more money from Netflix that, like, this is what the market determines and everything else, right? And so it was interesting because a lot of folks were couching that in the fact that Monique hadn't necessarily done anything recently, right? This is how a lot of them were putting this. Like, Monique ain't did nothing, and I can't tell you how long when she did the one where she was in jail with the women in prison and stuff. When was the last time Monique did anything? And then you get Eddie Murphy getting offered $70 million to do stand-up comedy specials. And Eddie Murphy ain't did a stand-up comedy special since Raw, and that came out in 1989.
Ho, brother, ho, whoa, now. You got too much dip on your chip.
That was actually the wrong one.
God damn!
It's been 30 years since this nigga Eddie Murphy got up on the stage and did a stand-up comedy special. 30 fucking years. You talk about relevancy and recently, it's been 30 years since we seen Eddie Murphy do anything stand-up related. And then you think about some of the things like, yo, at the time, Eddie Murphy was the biggest comedian in the world. You look at some of that material now, like, could Eddie Murphy get away with doing some of that same shit today? I don't know. Has Eddie Murphy worked out material that would be palatable for today's audience? I don't know. We haven't seen him do it. He hasn't had a residency anywhere. None at all. Like, I do know that, like, Monique has a residency out in Vegas, and she's been doing shows repeatedly out there. As a matter of fact, the friend of the show, Corey Boyd Bell, has been opening for Monique out in Las Vegas. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's just kind of weird, like, how people are couching this in, yo, relevancy. Because that was their argument last year. It was like, Monique hasn't done anything relevant in a long while. And then on top of that, you said, like, I was talking about this on my Facebook yesterday, and some of the responses were, well, you can't compare the two. Two things about that. One, I already did. Right, I already did. I'm comparing the fact that you're talking about relevancy, and she's done a lot more recent work than Eddie Murphy has in the comedy space in a more relevant way. Right, there's that. The second part is, when someone tells you can't compare the two, usually that just means they don't have a fucking argument to present. Right, when they tell you that you can't compare the two, they don't have an argument. It's like when I talk about or when people talk about the similarities between how racism works in conjunction with homophobia, right? And how those two things can both, like, they both kind of operate in the same way. You get a whole lot of black people who will say, like, yo, man, like, you can't compare the black struggle to the gay struggle. You know what I'm saying? That, like, those are two different things. You can't compare the two. And really, it's not necessarily a comparison. It's just recognizing the fact that there are parallels between both discriminations. It's both discrimination. It's discrimination on both ends. It's not necessarily a comparison, but it's recognizing the similarities, right? And so when they tell you that you can't compare the two, then it's basically telling you they don't have an argument. The other thing was, like, well, Eddie Murphy is a legend and he's bankable. So, like, this is why this is the business model they're going after. Like, yo, we can guarantee that Eddie Murphy has an audience. Does he? I mean, because how many of y'all went out to the theater to go see Mr. Church? How many of y'all went out to the theater to go see 1,000 Words? How many of y'all went out to the theater to go see Pluto Nash? I mean, Eddie Murphy been putting out movies. They ain't been blockbusters. And even if you want to talk about Eddie Murphy being in Shrek, it's not as though Shrek was an Eddie Murphy movie. Kids don't go to the movie to see Shrek because it's an Eddie Murphy movie. They go to see Shrek. Eddie Murphy just so happens to be a part of the cast. So this idea that Eddie Murphy is somehow relevant to comedy today is like, yeah, like, we look back fondly on you know, Harlem Nights and Coming to America and Trading Places and Beverly Hills Cop. We look back fondly on those movies because, yo, like, some of those movies we kind of grew up to. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I remember, like, shit, Trading Places even today is, like, one of my favorite, like, movies of all time. I still own that movie and everything else. One of my favorite movies of all time. Same thing with Harlem Nights. One of my favorite movies of all time. But I also recognize the fact that, like, those movies are all over 30 years old. Right? So the act is, though, his movies from 30 years ago are now what supersedes Monique's relevancy is like, you kind of full of shit, man. Your argument, you've been showing yourself to be full of shit for a while now. And so, like, in that time, Monique has been an Oscar, like, she won an Oscar. She wasn't Oscar nominated. She won that bitch. She's had, you know, numerous comedy specials. She was a headliner for the Queens of Comedy at one point. She had her own TV show. She's had her own TV talk show. Like, Eddie Murphy hasn't done any of those things in that span of time. We know Eddie Murphy for being in Shrek and doing, like, some terrible family movies that don't necessarily break the bank at the box office. And even some of the movies that he's done that aren't necessarily family movies, nobody fucking goes to see. So you can't tell me that Eddie Murphy has his built-in guaranteed audience to justify after 30 years, this dude gets to see $70 million and Monique is tripping because she's like, man, why in the fuck are y'all only offering me $200,000 to $500,000? That's bullshit. So she had a point. They lowballed the fuck out of Monique. And many of y'all are playing yourselves and acting like y'all coming up with all these different arguments as to why Monique doesn't deserve that money. And y'all telling on yourselves that y'all really just do. Y'all kind of got a problem with her. But to a subtle degree, y'all also maybe have a problem with women. Because truth be told, most of the dudes or most of the people who were talking about why Monique doesn't deserve what she's asking for was a bunch of dudes telling me why she didn't deserve what she was asking for and coming up with all these reasons as to why Eddie Murphy deserves what he was getting. He hadn't even asked for that yet. This is what they came off the top with, $70 million. Right? $70 million. Eddie Murphy ain't did shit stand-up-wise in 30 years, and you niggas are trying to tell me that this is why that Eddie Murphy got a guaranteed audience when he couldn't get y'all niggas in the seats to go see none of his recent shit? Fuck out of here, man. Fuck out of here. This is bullshit, dude. This is bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And like, another part too is like, people will intentionally miss your point, right? They will intentionally miss your point. Because it wasn't the point that like, it was Eddie Murphy. It could have been somebody like, I don't know, man, who's Paul Mooney. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Paul Mooney got offered like $13 million to do a stand-up special on Netflix, man, it'd have been the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all like, well, Paul Mooney is a comedy legend. Like, no doubt, Paul Mooney is a comedy legend. Is he worth $13 million on a Netflix special and Monique only gets $500,000? Probably not. Probably not. Well, people will be willfully obtuse and, you know, it's just weird, man. Like, kind of watching y'all twist yourselves and not to justify the bullshit. That's just weird, man. So, like, yo, man, although we didn't necessarily all agree on the tactic that Monique used when it came to, like, asking people to boycott Netflix because they shortchanged her, I think for the most part, that's what turned a lot of folks off. But then when y'all therefore start talking about her relevancy and comedy as to why she didn't get offered more money, and then this nigga comes in after 30 years of not doing shit, come on, man. Fuck out of here. That is in Blue Blazes, man. Oh, man. So we got one more story on these Blue Blazes streets, man. And this is actually something that I'm a little sick and tired of happening, right? I'm a little sick and tired of this shit going on. But there was a woman who had her daughter at the doctor's office, and apparently she videotaped her daughter licking a tongue depressor at the doctor's office and putting that motherfucker back in the damn jar. That lady got arrested too, so we're going to read this story here. This comes out of news.meredithmag. I don't know what the fuck this site is. Meredith Digital Staff. Okay, meredithmag.com. It says, A Florida mother could face up to 30 years in prison after she recorded a video of her daughter licking a tongue depressor at a doctor's office, according to authorities. Corey Ward, 30, was charged with tampering with a consumer product without regard for possible death or bodily injury. Her attorney, Paul Shorstein, said he believes the felony charge is too harsh. Do you? Is he like on some...
Oh, that was different.
It's a travesty and abusive that she was charged with the highest level crime in Florida for essentially recording her kids. You know goddamn well that's not why she was fucking charged with a felony, dude. It's not about just recording your kids. Ward admitted to filming the viral video inside an exam room at the All About Kids and Family Medical Center in Jacksonville. She then uploaded the footage to Snapchat on July 9th with the caption, "Don't tell me how to live my life." Gots to be more careful. In the video, her daughter can be seen grabbing a wooden tongue depressor, licking it, and then putting it back in the jar. Ward said she told the staff what happened immediately following the incident and did not intend to put anyone in danger. Well, how about you not let your fucking kid do that? But meanwhile, you're saying, don't tell me how to live my life. I had just been waiting a long time. I was just being silly with my kids. Ward told WJX-TV, it's ruined my life right now. That's how I feel, at least. Well, I mean, you know, being a copycat can have that effect. Like, this is, like, no different than that other dude that was 36 in Louisiana who did the same shit with the ice cream in the store. Like, he went to jail and he felt like, yo, they doing too much by taking me to jail. No, nigga, no, they not. That shit got to stop. Like, if Trump supporters wanted to talk about locking anybody up, why ain't he talking about lock her up with this shit here, right here? This is the shit y'all really need to be talking about locking somebody up after. Stop doing this stupid shit. The thirst for attention, man. The thirst for attention. And that has been that has been Blue Blazes, man. I gotta get out.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say Blue Blazes?
All right, but y'all know what time it is next. All right, that's enough of that shit. It's Proud to Be an American time here at the Spanner Pro Podcast, man. And our first story in Proud to Be an American is apparently Governor of Tennessee is on that bullshit, man. He on that bullshit, y'all. And he signed a proclamation celebrating Nathan Bedford Forrest in the state of Tennessee. Yeah, I know, right? So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of Fox 17 in Nashville. It says, Governor Bill Lee has signed a proclamation for Saturday to be observed as Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in Tennessee. In accordance with a previously signed state law, the day honors Forrest, a Confederate general and a former Grand Wizard of the early Ku Klux Klan. Nathan Bedford Forrest Day is among six separate days of special observation included in the law, which includes two others pertaining to the Confederacy, Robert E. Lee Day in January 18th, and the Confederate Decoration Day, also known as Confederate Memorial Day, and the birthday of Confederate President Jefferson Davis, June 3rd, are also recognized in accordance with the state law. The law also proclaims for Abraham Lincoln Day, February 12th, and Andrew Jackson Day, March 15th, and Veterans Day, November 11th, to be observed. A representative for Governor Lee's office reiterated to Fox 17 News that the governor is required to issue a series of proclamations each year for 6 days that are outlined within the law. To meet our obligation, Governor Lee signed the same proclamation that has been signed in years past, the representative said. To be clear, a new law has not been signed. It's a proclamation in accordance with the existing law that the governor must follow. Democratic politicians have pushed for past governors to change the law, as well as for a bust honoring Forrest on display in the state capitol to be taken down. So, in Tennessee, there's a bust of Ku Klux Klan founder and Confederate general Nathan Bedford Forrest on the state capitol. They also celebrate days for Robert E. Lee, and they also have a Confederate Memorial Day. And the governor, by law, is supposedly he has to sign proclamations about these particular days. Now, one of the reasons why I think I find this very fucking interesting is the fact that, yo, man, Republicans are always kind of telling, like, black people, you know, especially, like, black voters, like, man, what, y'all do know that the KKK was started under Democrats. Like, the Democrats are the ones who started the KKK, and y'all on a Democratic plantation anytime y'all voting for them, this, that, and the third. And then you kind of look at who's, like, the current people championing these Democratic KKK members. And ironically, it ain't the Democratic Party. It's these Republican folks, man. Bill Lee is a Republican governor. And I'm quite sure that the Republican legislature is majority Republican as well. So you got this connection with the Confederacy, and you want to have these days with the Confederacy, traitors to this nation as we know it. But you've got these days commemorating their memories and commemorating their contributions to this country. And most of their contributions to this country were murderous, racist, secessionist, traitorous sort of contributions. But this is who y'all are, like, talking about proud to be an American. Like, a lot of these people swear they are fucking patriots, man. And it's just weird. Like, this is, y'all always talk about black people having this allegiance to the Democratic Party. Do you know the KKK was started by them? I know who is, like, in their pocket right now. Right? I know who the KKK is voting for right now. And a damn show ain't Democrats. If a damn show ain't Democrats. So that's in proud to be an American, man. Another story that's in proud to be an American is the fact that, so I haven't really talked a whole hell of a lot about this. I try to not talk a hell of a lot about Trump as much. I remember for a long time after Trump was elected, every fucking show I might have had something to say about it. It's too much, man. It's too much. But Donald Trump has been in the news quite a bit lately, this week, because of his assertion that four women of color who are also members of Congress, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Ayanna Pressley, that they should go back to the country, they should go back to where they came from, you know, and asserting that they are not American, you know. And this has been all over the news. I've seen a lot of people talking about, yo, man, you know, if you're a Trump supporter, you know, don't unfriend me now, and a lot of stuff. And I'm just kind of over that whole thing, you know what I'm saying? Because it's been almost, we're 2.5 years, almost 3 years into this dude's term. If you still got Trump friends and stuff like that at this point, man, that's because you want them. You know, I'm just kind of over the shit. I don't even know if those proclamations even need to be made anymore. We know this dude is a racist sack of shit. We know that's what he ran on. We know that's what he continues to run on even now as he seeks re-election. And so one of the things about it, though, is the fact that because Trump is so blatantly racist, is that his supporters sometimes feel as though they can also be blatantly racist as well. And so he's kind of normalized it in a way where, like, regular folks are out here talking cash shit to people of color, and, you know, they feel like no consequences will be meted out because, yo, man, president gets to say this shit too, right? So we're going to read this story here. As a matter of fact, we're going to read a little bit of the story here from thedailymail.com, and then there's also video associated with this, so we're going to play the video. But out of the Daily Mail, it says, a white woman in Pennsylvania was captured on video going off in a racist tirade against a Puerto Rican woman speaking Spanish in a grocery store. Johanny Santana filmed the unidentified woman telling her, I hope Trump deports you, and implying Santana was paying with drug money, then shared the clip on Facebook on June 30th. People from Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens with the same rights to travel around the country as a person born in Pennsylvania where the incident took place. Santana said that she started filming the woman after the woman cursed when a child spoke Spanish to the cashier while shopping with his grandfather at the Abington Market, and as NBC Philadelphia reported. Between 2016 and 2017, there was a 17% increase in hate crimes reported in the U.S., the latest data from the Federal Bureau of Investigation's hate crime statistics shows. The majority of the hate crimes, 59.6% reported, were found by the FBI to have been motivated by race, ethnicity, or ancestry. So let me go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can watch this here right along with me here in the chat room. And let's do this right here. All right, and so here we go. Let me pull this up, and so we're going to watch this here. Check this out, y'all.
Are you probably from the speak Spanish?
Can you stop talking to me?
No, do not talk for puta, okay? Because puta is not good.
You're a puta.
Wow, you problem, okay?
Okay, then.
Funny, though. Like, it's funny how, like, the races always, like, the only, like, foreign words they ever really want to learn are the curse words. So she knew enough about Spanish to call that lady a punta to disrespect her. But she didn't want her speaking any other motherfucking Spanish in that damn that grocery store. Funny how that works.
My problem.
No, pendejo, you. Hey,
you not speak here. You don't belong here.
Yeah, I don't care. Me 6 years here. On your problem, I don't care. You racista.
You
racista.
You should be deported.
Man, I don't care.
Another thing too that I think is very interesting when it comes to these white people when they get to talking about who was born here and this and the third. Even if this woman who's Puerto Rican and she's already an American citizen and has every right to be here. Even if she had been born someplace else and decided to come here and become a naturalized citizen and whatnot, a lot of those immigrants—I mean, most of those immigrants—have to learn the history. They have to they really do have to get involved in the civics, how to learn how the American government works, how to learn the American history, this and the third. It's many motherfuckers who enjoy United States citizenship simply because they were born here. This lady probably included, and don't know how their fucking government works. Don't know. Basic U.S. history, this, that, and the third. And yet they have these are usually the loudest motherfuckers in the room when it comes to who belongs here and who doesn't. You probably don't know or are oblivious or willfully obtuse to the history of this country or the fact that Puerto Rico is a part of the United States and that lady has every right to be here. But you're talking about, well, I was born here. You need to go back to where you came from. Bitch, fuck you. Fuck you.
Hey, yo.
You don't belong here.
What the... She's problem for me. I speak Spanish.
You don't belong here.
Man, I don't care. F*** you. F*** you. I don't care. Me living here, country 6 years. You not like
you.
Spanish?
I
your problem. It's
you.
Your problem, okay? Mira esta.
I'd love the register to be open.
Racista. You puta, hey, what the? Hello?
Goodbye. Adios. Bye.
All right, that's enough of this. But yo, man, that's crazy that, like, you, again, because these things are happening because on a national scale, because of the messaging that the president of the United States currently, the occupant of the White House, because he's so blatantly racist, it makes these regular miserable life having motherfuckers in like middle America feel as though they have the audacity, feel as though they have license to be just as racist as he is. They don't necessarily wield the same amount of power that he does, but there's a quote, man. And, I never forget this. I've heard this quote 1,000 times and I'll read it off here. It says, and this was from, President Lyndon B. Johnson back in the '60s. He said, if you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best colored man, he won't notice your pick in his pocket. Hell, give him somebody to look down on and he'll empty his pockets for you. And so it's so apropos in this particular moment because there's a lot of white people in America who are getting bled dry by that Trump tax cut, right? Talked about it earlier where Steve Mnuchin was talking about the U.S. government running out of money before Congress comes back in session later in the year, and that they need to borrow more money, and that the Trump tax cut, which gave a whole hell of a lot more money to the rich, and it left more of us middle class, the lower middle class folks, holding the bag as far as shouldering the burden when it comes to paying more and more taxes to fund the government, that they're cool with that. Hey, we need to give more, you know, these are the job creators, you know, these are the people who give us the jobs, and if we tax them, they're going to go away. Like, nah, motherfucker, they making money hand over fist. They making money hand over fist, and they still ain't giving you no fucking job. And then when they do give you a job, they give you a job, and they don't want to pay you what the fuck you're worth. This is why you're arguing against the raising of a minimum wage, because you think, yo, if these people who are making minimum wage make a little bit more money, then somehow that makes me less than. Right? And so, these people have been given somebody whom to think that they're better than. This woman has a... I'm just speculating here, but she doesn't look like she lives a spectacular fucking life. She's in the grocery store the same as this Puerto Rican woman is. The same fucking grocery store. And yet she feels as though I'm better than this woman because I was born here and you don't belong here. Right? That's the craziness that racism and xenophobia and hatred like exudes and creates. That's the craziness of it. And so, yeah, man, we're seeing more and more of this every day. We're seeing more and more of this every day. And this is why it's always ironic and proud to be an American, because it's like, yo, I mean, you still got to deal with this shit, you know? And this isn't the only story that we had happen like this this week. There's another story that I kind of wanted to highlight in Proud to Be an American, where in Naperville, Illinois, there was a gas station attendant in Naperville, Illinois, who felt like it was his job to ask customers what their immigration status was while he's serving them at the gas station. The fucking gas station, yo. So let me pull this story up. Where is it? Here we go. Let me pull this up so you guys can, let's see. I think there's video associated with this. And this comes out of NBCChicago.com. And yo, yeah, so Naperville gas station clerk, let me go ahead and let this load up. Suspended after viral video. All right. Where's the volume on this? Okay. They don't have volume controls on their video? What the fuck, yo? Oh, there we go, finally.
They're live with the latest, Regina.
Let me restart this.
Thanks for joining us here at 4:30. I'm Patrick Fazio.
And I'm Lauren Petty in for Marion Brooks. We begin with protests in west suburban Naperville after a family says a gas station clerk told them ICE will come in a racially charged encounter.
Now, Regina Waltrip is there live with the latest. Regina.
Yeah, Patrick, we're right outside the gas station. The protesters, they've been here since earlier this morning, and they're getting some support from people. People are blowing their horns, bringing them water, and they're also joining in.
Undocumented
people.
A lot.
Some are calling this a racially charged encounter.
Angry, honestly. I'm upset, hurt.
It happened Tuesday afternoon at this Bucky's gas station in suburban Naperville.
Don't you know the rules?
What is your problem? What is your problem?
They need to go back to their country.
Carolina Butron was with family members visiting from Mexico. She says some of them went into the store to buy snacks when the clerk started lobbing insults. That's when she pulled out her cell phone and started recording. NBC cannot confirm, nor do we know what happened before she started recording.
He started asking about my cousins, if they were illegal, or and the group, if it was family or friends. And so they were like, she's like, it's family, we're family. And he's like, oh, are those two girls adopted?
She says the situation continued to escalate.
Okay, one of the things I'm finding very interesting about this video also is the dude who's behind the counter. They decided to blur his fucking face out. I don't know why they do that. He's in a public place. He's acting in a very public manner. I'm sure that the actual viral video would not be blurring his face at this particular moment. The fact that they feel like they have to protect his identity is, I just kind of feel like that's some bullshit.
With some customers even coming to the clerk's defense.
An older gentleman that was standing there, he was like adding on, like going on like his side, you can say, where he's like, well, he has all the right to tell you to get out.
The family posted the encounter on Facebook, where it's been shared more than 12,000 times.
It's upsetting.
At the gas station today, waves of protesters.
No woke, no woke.
Some carried flags, others signs. All say they're disgusted by the incident and they want the clerk gone.
This is not Naperville, and I stand for that. This is not Naperville, and...
And you support the people out there.
And I support the people, the protesters that are honking for diversity and equality.
They were all pretty upset. Like, my aunt was really mad because it's not fair.
All right. So, yeah, man, like, more and more of these people are feeling as though they have every right to insert their political, like, insert their politics on you, right? Like, the fact that this dude felt at work, at work starting to ask people about their immigration status. Nigga, just give me these chips. Like, why the fuck are you worried about whether or not I'm here illegally or not? Nigga, give me these chips and shut the fuck up. Ring me up for 20 on pump 5 and shut the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like, again, though, if you can convince these people that they're better than somebody else, they will go above and beyond in these instances, man. And we're seeing more and more of this after Donald Trump did his thing earlier this week with Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The interesting thing about those four women is only one of them was not born in this country. She's a naturalized American citizen, and that's Ilhan Omar, and she became a citizen before Donald Trump's wife even did. So that has been proud to be an American, man. That's fucking insane. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. Yeah, you know, there was another story in Proud to Be an American of some white dude from Pennsylvania. He was a congressman. I believe his name is Mike Kelly. And he was talking about how he wasn't offended at Donald Trump, his assertion that these women need to go back to where they came from. He's also a white dude who claims he's a person of color. Man, fuck you. I'm not going to just get the fuck out of my face, man. That is stupid. I'm not going to even bother with that entire story. I just like, you know what, man, fuck that. But it is time for our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week is none other than ass hat emeritus, Donald Trump, man. Donald Trump is the ass hat of the week this week, man, because one of the things that I thought was very interesting was he started this whole shit, and this has become a pattern. And once you notice the pattern, like, you can kind of predict when these sort of things are starting to happen. It's much like Dan Brown novels. You start to predict, like, okay, I know who the protagonist is. I know who the antagonist is. I know how the flip is going to happen. And so when it comes to Donald Trump, you notice he'll say something incendiary. He'll watch the media response to it. He'll kind of walk those steps back, and then the media will still be talking about it. And then he'll get pissed that they're still talking about it. And then he'll double down on the original shit that he did. And so when it came to his comments about Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Rashida Tlaib, when it came to those comments that he made about them going back to where they came from, initially, he had a rally in North Carolina, and in that rally, his supporters were talking about send her back, right? As a matter of fact, we can go ahead and play a little bit of this video here. I guess I can pull this back up so you guys get in the chat room. Okay, so you guys in the chat room can watch this right along with us here. Check this right on out. All right. So, wait. Yeah, here we go. Check this out, y'all. Okay, so interestingly enough, after those sent her back chants at his political rally in North Carolina, he talked about in a press conference in the Oval Office how he quickly intervened, started talking again, and he didn't agree with what they were saying, or what they were saying was wrong. He didn't necessarily agree with it. And then he doubled back on that and said that those people that were in that crowd, he could have put more people in that crowd because of how much of a draw he was, and that they were incredible patriots. Donald Trump is the asshat emeritus. Like, you can't get higher in asshatness than Donald Trump at this particular moment. The asshat emeritus is Donald Trump here. And, I try not to talk about this dude as much here on the show, but because of what's going on in the world, you know, he's kind of unavoidable. And so because of what has been going on this week, And because Donald Trump is in the middle of all of this shit, Donald Trump is the ass hat of the week here at the Spirit Report Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
Right, our champ this week here at the Spin Report Podcast is none other than I didn't pull this up. Let me go ahead and do that. So apparently there was a Miss Michigan pageant contestant who's a real big Donald Trump supporter. Miss Michigan, let me do this here. Cause she's in the news. All right. So there's a Miss Michigan pageant contestant. Okay, this is one of those videos that they play where they just got words and music and stuff. But Kathy Zhu, she's 20 years old. She goes to the University of Michigan. She's a Trump supporter. She's been stripped of her title as Miss Michigan by the Miss World America State National Chief Laurie DeJack. Now, Laurie DeJack is our champ of the week this week because she stripped her of her title. And interestingly enough, Kathy Zhu doesn't necessarily understand why she's having her title stripped of her. So let's read the story here. This comes out of YahooLifestyle.com. It says the Miss World America organization is under fire after stripping the President Donald Trump supporting model of her Miss Michigan title over racist, Islamophobic, and insensitive tweets. Kathy Zhu, 20, is a University of Michigan student who won the 2019 Michigan World America title on Sunday. However, her reign was cut short after organizers became aware of Zhu's controversial Twitter account days later. Zhu took to Twitter to post screenshots of Thursday's emails and text messages with the state director of Miss World America, not to be confused with Miss Universe, formerly owned by Trump. Laurie DeJack, who said that the MWA organization came across Zhu's account, where the beauty queen goes by Political Kathy, and felt that her content was in violation of the organization's rules and conditions. So they got a couple of tweets where she's screenshotting the emails that were sent to her. She said, Miss World America State National Chief Director accused me of being racist, Islamophobic, and insensitive. They stripped me of my Miss Michigan title due to my refusal to try on a hijab in 2018. My tweet about black-on-black gun violence and insensitive statistical tweets. Okay. So, I know facts don't matter over there. I know they don't. But when you talk about black-on-black gun violence, and you don't necessarily understand why that's racist, and you go to the University of Michigan, which is a very hard school to get into. Trust me, I know. You might need to do a little bit more soul searching, man. Because there's no such thing as black-on-black crime. There is a such thing as crime. Chances are, if a white person was to be shot by someone else, it would probably be by another white person. Statistics bear that out. Same thing in the Asian community. If you were going to be killed by someone of Asian, if you were going to be an Asian person killed by any other person, it would probably be by an Asian person. People kill the people they're closest to. The proximity thing is a thing. So the fact that you thought that, you know, your tweets about insensitive statistical stats, like tweets or whatever, like that you didn't necessarily understand the reasoning behind that. Maybe you're being willfully obtuse. The same thing with the I didn't try on a hijab. So apparently she went up to a Muslim demonstration at the University of Michigan. They asked her to try on a hijab and she refused. But it wasn't because she refused. It wasn't because she refused. Her refusal was, she went to Twitter to say that when did the hijab become a fashion accessory and not something associated with, not something associated with oppressing women in Islam. That is why they stripped you. That and your comments about black on black, quote unquote, black on black crime and your support of Donald Trump, yeah, man, it's a combination. It was a combination of things, and I don't feel sorry for you, but I do want to highlight that Lori DeJack, the Miss World America state national chief, of taking that shit away from you because you don't represent what they represent, and they don't owe you a motherfucking thing. And so, yeah, for that, Lori DeJack is the champ of the week this week here at the Spin Report Podcast, man. And so, yo, we're going to get on up out of here. Of course, before we do, I'd like to thank again the Patreon patrons who have contributed to that campaign and will continue to do so. And we implore anybody who's also interested in contributing to our Patreon, man, to please do so, to allow us to do this here right back here on Crowdcast, man. But before we go, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll replay those messages here on the show and respond in kind. If you're watching us live here on Crowdcast, you can chop it up with your man Spans here live on the show, man. Real talk. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, those emails will get read here live on the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter. Well, hit me up on Twitter. My name on Twitter and Instagram is Mr_Spans. So go ahead and follow your man Spans throughout the week. Chop it up with me. Talk some shit with your boy. Also, hit us up on these iTunes and our Twitter. iTunes and or Stitcher Radio streets, man. Those 5-star reviews are the ones we looking for, and those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here live on the show. Give us those, and we will thank you here, and we really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Also, if you're interested, man, of helping us financially, hit us up on our Patreon and or our PayPal, man. But you can do both of those things at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, you can watch replays of the show, and you can vote in the polls. And you can leave comments, and you can donate, and you can hit up our store and get yourself some merch, get yourself a t-shirt or a coffee mug or a sports bottle or whatever else you're into. We got all of that stuff available at thespanreport.com, www.thespanreport.com, man, real talk. But, yo, man, we back on these Crowdcast streets, and it feels good, and we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.